It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger in for Paul Guggenheimer. One of the topics we address in the first segment of today's program is the importance of research and development to set a foundation for commercialization in biotechnology and life sciences. The products have to come from somewhere. Cognition Therapeutics is a local company focused on finding new medicines to treat Alzheimer's disease. Joining me to address how they go about that mission is Hank Saferstein, CEO of Cognition Therapeutics. Hank Saferstein, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
You know, we've previously had guests on this show involved in tissue products and medical devices. Classic biotech really involves drug development, which is what you do, correct?
That's correct.
Talk about Cognition and the approach to Alzheimer's, the approach to finding a pill to treat what is now truly an intractable disease. Where does one start?
Sure. So Cognition Therapeutics was conceived of as a taking on a different approach to discovering drugs for diseases like Alzheimer's. And one of the few places that we really could have done this is Pittsburgh. But what we did was we focused on creating the disease in a dish, if you will. So this is a bit different than the way industry normally approaches drug discovery, where they identify a target for that drug, some kind of molecular target, and they go after it. We essentially, because there is a real lack of any known targets in this disease, things to go after to try to stem the course of it, we created it in a dish and the disease itself in a dish. And then we also combined that with our own chemical library. So we started at a very basic approach, but it allowed us to not only discover drugs that had the potential to slow the course of disease or even stop it, but also in the process, we've discovered new biology and a new target. So that's how we went about it. It's a sometimes termed a phenotypic approach, but it's rare in the industry.
You know, we're here to talk mainly about regional economic development, but I have to ask, the disease in the dish, that's a model, if you will. How does one replicate a human condition in a laboratory device?
Well, it starts with a lot of good brains around the table. So Dr. Susan Catalano is the founder of Cognition Therapeutics, and she's a jobbing neurobiologist by training. She understands memory and learning probably better than most. And one of the interesting things about Alzheimer's disease is that it's always been approached by folks who are focused on this thing called neurodegeneration or dying of nerves. But Alzheimer's is actually a disease of not of cell death, but of the lack of cells to communicate correctly with each other due to a buildup of proteins and other things in the brain. So Susan's background in the biology of memory and learning allowed us to take the components of the disease. So we grow the actual neurons that are affected in the disease course from a region of the brain called the hippocampus. And we combine them with the toxic forms of the protein that we isolate from the brains of Alzheimer's patients. And we can actually measure changes, and we find drugs to stop those changes.
So that's what goes on in the dish. Then you mentioned you have the library, which is what, a set of chemical compounds?
Exactly. We developed a proprietary library that was designed to be drug-like from the very beginning. Our lead chemist, Gil Rishton, who was the founding medicinal chemist, small molecule medicinal chemist at Amgen back in the day.
Amgen, a major biotechnology
exactly.
company.
Exactly, yep. He's a big proponent of starting with chemical libraries that are rule of five compliant, so they actually penetrate the blood-brain barrier easily, all of these things. So we didn't have to engineer that in. So that was our library. We developed a whole new chemical space that we're working in, and we combine that with these biology screens. And we like to say that if you're going to go fishing for big fish, you need good bait. And our library is probably the best as it gets.
You better get some bigger bait.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly for Alzheimer's
exactly.
disease.
Exactly.
Before we talk about why Cognition in Pittsburgh, let's talk about why Hank Saferstein in Cognition. What's your background? How did you get into this game and how did you get into this company?
That's a great question. Without taking the whole segment,
we won't let you filibuster. That's okay.
I'm a PhD neurobiologist by training, and I got there because I was compelled by my father's own disease. He had Lou Gehrig's disease, and at the time I was graduating my undergrad degree, and I thought I could do something there. So I did my PhD work looking at Lou Gehrig's models, if you will. So I've always been passionate about neurodegeneration and passionate about this space. And then I've done my time in big pharma and startups. And my last company was in New York. It was acquired by Johnson & Johnson back in 2007. And I had the opportunity to go really anywhere, my wife and I and our family. And we decided to come to Pittsburgh for a number of reasons. It's a great place to raise a family, but importantly for the business, there was a lot of capital around to help start a company in Pittsburgh and in Pennsylvania in general. And there's a huge population of neurobiologists here from the university. So our ability to attract talent and to run a lab at a reasonable costs is really second to none. So that was really sort of the galvanizing feature here.
So really, it was Pittsburgh that drew Cognition and you and the technology to Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
As opposed to sort of it's springing out of a lab at the university.
Exactly. So the technology came from Susan Catalano, and she was in San Francisco at the time. And then I came as an executive in residence at the Pittsburgh Life Sciences Greenhouse, which is a group, as you know, that's dedicated to starting companies here in Pittsburgh. And so I met Susan and the other founding members of the team. I immediately recognized the tremendous potential in this approach, and we made the first investment in the company, and I joined as CEO about a year later.
You know, that's interesting because the classic approach to regional economic development, the sort of old-fashioned chamber of commerce approach, is to find the big factory that's going to relocate to your region and put 500 people to work. In today's economy, is it maybe safer to say that a better objective is to find the technology and import it to the region? It's a lot more portable than a factory.
I think so, and I would actually refine that a little bit, and I would say that drug development, pharmaceutical technology is particularly attractive because there's a huge amount of value that you can unlock in a relatively short period of time through the discovery and process. You can build tremendous value in just a few years, and that value inures to the benefit of Pittsburgh. When you're here, we have high-paying jobs. This is sustainable. Ultimately, our goal is to sell this drug to a large international, pharma company. But still, we have many investors here, and we'll go back and do it again.
Those transactions, when you sell a company like Cognition after you've met some milestones, presumably, I know can be very valuable, but it takes a staggering, breathtaking amount of money to reach those milestones and ultimately to get a drug approved the whole way. Can you tell us what the capital consumption of your company has been and where have you raised the money?
Yeah, so we've been so incredibly fortunate. We created a very large angel network of investors.
An angel being?
High net worth individuals and family offices. And we were also fortunate enough, we started with the Pittsburgh Life Sciences Greenhouse as an investor. But along the way, this last round, for instance, was led by a group called Golden Seeds, who invests in women-led businesses. And Dr. Catalano, being a woman scientist, was very attractive in terms of their investment profile. So we've been fortunate to be able to attract capital from not only around the country, but around the world. We have investors now from Australia, scale investors, and we're going to do that more. So we've raised about $21 million to date, which seems like a lot of money. But if you look at our peer group, if you look at the companies who we compete with, who are usually venture-backed, they're already $40 to $60 million in deployed invested capital by now. So we've been incredibly efficient. Fortunate to be here in Pittsburgh because the cost of doing business is significantly less here. And because of this angel network, we've been able to attract those funds and bring them right here and build the company here in Pittsburgh.
It's good to know you've been efficient with $20 million, and
yeah.
I'm sure your investors appreciate it too. Well, you say we can raise the money, or you have raised the money from other locations, but you're taking advantage of the location here in Pittsburgh, low cost of doing business, access to talent at the universities, local regional economic development organizations, et cetera. There used to be, or at least I recall hearing, since I moved to Pittsburgh myself some years ago, that it was impossible to grow a biotechnology company in Pittsburgh because the money had to come from Boston or New York or from out of town, and investors would never tolerate the company not relocating to them. Yet here you are, $20 million in, still on the south side of Pittsburgh.
Right, right.
How'd you pull that off?
Well, it's interesting. Our fundraising strategy has been non-traditional, as has been our drug discovery approach, right? So if we had the classic institutional investors, the venture capital groups that are in Boston or San Francisco or New York, then it probably would have been more important for us to be there in those cities. Those are usually syndicates with smaller number of investors and larger amounts that they put to work. But because we have such a tremendously large network around the country, no one feels too put out by having the company operate in Pittsburgh. In fact, they come here, they look at the labs, they look at how frugal we are and how cheaply we've been able to operate. And they like that as an investor. They see a lot more return for their investment.
It is the Pittsburgh way to do a dime's worth of work on a nickel. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer today. This hour, we've been looking at the biotech industry in Pittsburgh, and we're speaking with Hank Saferstein, CEO of Cognition Therapeutics. Hank, you've talked about the money you've raised, the origins of the community, your own background, the relevance of Pittsburgh. Where from here, where are you in this long and expensive process of trying to find a novel treatment for this disease? Where in development and what's next?
So we're at a very exciting part right now of the development cycle. We're about to enter human clinical studies by the end of this year, shortly actually.
Excuse me, that means that chemical that you selected from that library and presumably tweaked a little bit and worked in the dish, you're now going to give for the first time to a human being.
Absolutely.
That is an exciting moment.
It's exciting and it's humbling. It really is. And again, we consider ourselves very fortunate. So that's a very important turning point, a very important milestone. It's the first time that the human body will experience this drug. And then we move very rapidly from those studies into patient studies where we look at signs of efficacy. And what we've seen with our drug, at least in the preclinical models,
meaning
the animal models, mm-hmm. where we actually can give an animal Alzheimer's by giving them the human gene that is responsible for some of these Alzheimer's patients, we've seen not only a rapid improvement in the symptoms, their ability to learn, but a reversal in some of those memory defects and a stabilization of disease progression over at least 6 months, which in the life of a mouse is a relatively long time. So it's an exciting time. We're entering the clinic. We've got a first-in-class, meaning this target has never been probed before for this disease. This drug's never been in humans. It's truly an amazing time, and we're looking forward to some great results coming forward.
And in brief, Hank Saferstein, is it possible that between drugs and devices, biotech could become to Pittsburgh what steel once was?
I think so. We've got a huge pond with technologies in it at Pitt, at CMU. I still work with folks at these universities. There's a huge number of technologies and medicines that can be developed. So I'm very optimistic that there's enough gas in the tank here to get us there. I'm excited about being a part of it.
Well, Hank Saferstein, Cognition Therapeutics CEO, thank you for joining us very much. We enjoyed the conversation and our special look at the future of biotechnology in the Berg. Tomorrow at this time, WESA will air an American Radio Works special on teaching teachers. Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Tom Petzinger, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you.